Hello and welcome to Local Matters. We have a special guest today. Dr. Phil Oldham is president of Tennessee Technological University. Mr. President, welcome.
Thank you, Bob. It's good to be with you.
Well, it's good to be with you. And you've been on the show before, but it is just great to see you again. And I see you about every week, but it's great to have you on the program. Not everyone who's in our listening audience knows your background, though. Mm-hmm. So tell us about your journey to tech.
Sure. So I grew up, for the most part, in West Tennessee, rural part of West Tennessee, a few miles south of Jackson in Chester County. Finished high school there and graduated college at Freed Hardeman University there in Henderson. Went off to Texas A&M to graduate school, got a doctorate in chemistry, and ended up teaching at Mississippi State in the chemistry department for over 20 years, and left there in 2007, went to UT Chattanooga for 5 years as provost, and then had the opportunity and blessing to come here to Tennessee Tech as president. So,
well, it is a blessing, as we both know. And again, you were in the university system and serving as the chief academic officer there at UT Chattanooga. So you knew Tennessee well, and having grown up here, you knew it. And I think your dad went to Tennessee Tech for a while, too, didn't he?
He did. He actually finished his bachelor's degree here at Tennessee Tech back in the mid-1950s, before I was born. My mom and dad had moved to West Tennessee by the time I was born. But, yeah, I have an older brother that was actually born in Gainesboro.
How about that?
And so, yeah, we've got some ties to the area, and I wish my dad was still around to tell me some of those stories.
That would be neat. I remember walking with my mother on the quad one day this was probably the 1990s, and she was a graduate of the University of Illinois, but like mm-hmm. 1926. And she said, "This just reminds me of the old quad at yeah. Champaign." And I thought, boy, that was a long time ago when she was walking.
Well, there's a little bit of another connection, because my mother grew up near Champaign in Danville, Illinois.
How about that? So, know Danville yeah. well. Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, that's neat. Well, and speaking of the quad, I know this, we're entering the new year at this point, but we had a beautiful lighting ceremony on the quad, and it certainly looked Christmassy all during the Christmas holidays.
Yeah, that's become a pretty new tradition at Tech. Actually, this is the fifth year we've done it. Last year, obviously, we had to do it differently because of the pandemic. We still had the lights, but we weren't able to have the event. So the students really enjoy this. I never get an accurate count, but there were probably a couple of thousand students for the lighting, and we have a lot of activities for them, refreshments and games, and they all want to take photos, and they get a T-shirt to commemorate the occasion. And it's just sort of a special time on campus to enjoy the change of season. And it's toward the end of the semester, of course. They're getting ready for finals, and that's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's it's just an exciting time of year for them. And part of the excitement is getting to go home for the holidays. But part of it is just wrapping up the year on campus, too. Well, speaking of the new year, we've got a lot to talk about. And, boy, there's a lot of things happening at Tech right now. Let's talk about new buildings for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. We've got a lot of them, but we could start back now a year ago, little over, and talk about the Mark Burnett Fitness and Recreation Center. Beautiful new recreation center on campus.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous facility, about 150,000 square feet. And a lot of alums remark that they remember when the other Fit was built. Hadn't been that long ago, actually. I guess the good news is we outgrew it. It was a wonderful facility, served us very well, and we just outgrew it. We weren't able to expand there. We didn't have the real estate there to expand that facility. So, with the students' help, we were able to build a new facility, and it's tremendous. It's been recognized nationally in some publications, look at recreation and fitness centers around the country, and it's listed as one of the top 10 new fitness facilities in the nation.
Yeah, so that's pretty neat to have Tech recognized in that way. And naming it after Mark Burnett. Mark was a special guy at Tech for many, many years.
Yeah, Mark, of course, he went to school at Tech, scored the first points in the Eblen Center.
I was there
on the
that
basketball
night. Yeah.
Team, and has sort of been the heart and soul of the campus for a long time, many generations. A lot of students look back, and the relationship they had with Mark was a major point of pride for them as they got through Tech themselves. And so I think it was a great opportunity to recognize somebody like Mark in that way. And it's a perfect facility to do it with. And those of us that know Mark know that there's probably nobody that's more into fitness activities and exercise than he is. So it's a pretty fitting.
And I think
building.
He was at the old fit about every day
That's
of his,
probably right.
his campus life.
It's probably nobody more competitive than Mark Burnett.
Yeah, I think he went and played basketball before work every morning about 6:30 and just had a standing game over there. So, well, talk about the old fit. What is going to happen or what is happening now in the old fitness center?
So it's like most buildings on Tech's campus, it will find a new life in a slightly different format. So it's a shared facility now between the Department of Exercise Science and the athletic department. So we use it for teaching classes in exercise science and doing research activities in that department. But obviously because of the structure of the building and how it was designed, it's pretty close to a perfect fit for practice gyms for the athletic department, particularly for basketball and volleyball. So it's enjoying a whole new life at this point in time, and we'll renovate it at some point in time to further enhance those future opportunities.
But it's still a great building. Just
it's
the way
a great
it is.
Building,
yep.
And it's well located next to the Eblen Center. So, we're using it quite a bit.
Well, speaking of great buildings, let's talk about the new science building that we celebrated the grand opening for this year. Tell us about that beautiful new building on campus.
So the Laboratory Science Commons is the largest building on campus, I believe. Now it's 165,000 square feet. It's a massive building.
It is.
Anybody that works in that building, I think they get plenty of steps in. They don't have to go to the fitness center because they get their exercise just walking around.
I heard someone say they had to have a roadmap the first few months.
So it is a state-of-the-art laboratory science building, and functionally it's tremendous. There's over 20 miles of pipe in that building and something like a million linear feet of cable that make up that building. And actually, one of my favorite tours to take people in the building, I mean, you see the laboratories and classrooms, and they're all very impressive and well-designed. Faculty had a big part in designing the facility. So I think I can't say enough good things about the faculty and the architects who worked really well together in that regard. But my favorite part is showing people sort of behind the scenes and the mechanical equipment that goes in to make all that possible. There's about 150 fume hoods in that building. So there's a lot of air movement. And so the mechanical equipment that facilitates all that is pretty substantial. And the whole penthouse is full of air handling equipment it really looks like you're walking into a modern industrial factory, but you don't realize that it's run so well. So, but a great facility. We were delighted to name the lecture hall building after Harry Stonecipher, a very notable alumnus, as you know, of Tennessee Tech and former CEO of Boeing. And so to have a name like that associated with the building makes it even more special. But students are loving it. It's a great student-centered type of facility, a lot of good student study spaces. And we even have artwork in the building that gives it an aesthetic flavor to it. And then an Einstein bagel shop, so you can satisfy all your basic needs.
And Einstein would be right at home in that building, wouldn't he?
He would. I think one of the hallmarks of it that mean the most to me is I get a lot of students who are not science majors, who just hang out in the building, and because they love the aesthetic of the building.
It is a beautiful
and building. How it feels and how well they can study and interact with each other. So, as an old chemist myself, for non-chemists to be hanging out in a chemistry building, that's, that's pretty unusual. That's not the norm.
That you're right there. Now, what is in there besides chemistry? There are some other programs that
there is.
Concentrate there.
So biology, as you know, biology is a pretty pretty substantial department on campus with a lot of sub-disciplines. The parts of biology that are more molecular biology in nature, cellular biology, those are housed within the new building. As well as a little bit of physics and a little bit of earth science. So there is a very much an interdisciplinary science flavor to the facility.
And that's pretty cool. And having part of it named for Harry Stonecipher, it sort of reinforces Tech's mission that here's a young man who came out of Scott County and did well, went to General Electric, went on to McDonnell Douglas as president, and then became chairman and CEO at Boeing. That's a pretty neat story for an Upper Cumberland native.
It's a tremendous story. And I think it's really sort of the quintessential story of the typical Tennessee Tech student in so many ways. You know, as students come from a lot of different places to Tech, a lot of times not fully understanding what their full potential is. And not knowing where their career will lead them. But, we have other stories of individuals like Harry that came from very modest circumstances and ended up in the very upper echelon of the C-suite in the top companies in the country.
So, went on to great things. And we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and maybe talk about some of those other alumni. This is Local Matters. We're talking to President Phil Oldham from Tennessee Tech University. We'll be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Phil Oldham, the president of Tennessee Tech University. And Phil, we were just talking about Harry Stonecipher, but as you said, there are lots of alumni out there that have gone on to do remarkable things, both in this world and out of this world, like Butch Wilmore, the commander of the International Space Station.
Harry's another great example. You know, came to Tennessee Tech, I guess in the early 80s, walk on the football team, probably undersized to play college football, but ends up in our Tennessee Tech Sports Hall of Fame and, one of the best we've ever had.
And recognized at the NCAA level with
he
one
was,
of the phenomenal.
He got the Teddy Roosevelt Award from the NCAA. He's a combat Navy pilot. Then astronaut, and Barry well as I do, and he's just a super, super
what
guy.
What a wonderful guy.
From Mount Juliet nearby. So, he's a pride of Mount Juliet.
Another great example of a tech alum. Well, we talked a little bit in the first session about the chemistry building or the wet sciences building, as we called it in the early days. But we've broken ground on a new engineering building, too.
We have. It's actually, it's going to be a good companion building to the Lab Science Commons. A little bit smaller, not quite as large as that. It's about 100,000 square feet. This is a project that we've been working on for a while, and we're excited to get it going up. The construction fences just went up in December, and so work is ongoing now. We've been in design for over a year, I guess, now. And faculty and engineering have played a big role in helping design this facility. This will be a state-of-the-art engineering building. And Prescott Hall was the newest engineering building we have on campus, and it's over 50 years old now. So it's well timed to add another great gym to that. As you know, the engineering is really the signature college on campus. It's what Tennessee Tech is most noted for overall, and it's very important that we stay cutting edge and state of the art. And this facility will help keep us in that position. So it's sort of interdisciplinary among engineering. So all the engineering disciplines have a part in this, and we're fortunate that we can attach another great alum's name to this one, Ashraf Islam, who got a civil engineering degree here many years ago and has gone on to have a fantastic career in Texas and Houston area and, with his own construction business and just a great example of another individual who's done well and used that Tennessee Tech education to help himself, his family, and his broader community.
Yeah, Ashraf is just a great example of again of successful alumni. He came from a different background than others. He actually came in from another country and sort of started his American life here in the Upper Cumberland and came back home to name a building. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's a good story, but this building will be a beautiful building, like Lab Sciences. Actually the same group of architects are working on it, but a little different look, but everybody will be glad to know we still continue to capture that modified Georgian architecture on campus and keep some consistency there while at the same time bringing in some contemporary look, so that everybody sees, modern engineering at its best.
And it's going to be a great building. It's going to be in Sherlock Park, which is sort of hallowed ground on campus, but Sherlock Park will still be there, won't it?
Oh, it will. And we're going to frame the park area with this building and then a new the J.J. Oakley Innovation Center and Residence Hall on the other end of Sherlock Park. In between the two buildings, we'll actually put in a small lake and continue to have a lot of green space. And we'll actually have a pretty substantial piece of artwork in the middle, too, that I'm happy to announce. A world-renowned sculptor is going to do a piece for us to put in that location. So we're excited about that.
That's going to be really neat. And I think Sherlock would be proud of what's happening there. Well, tell us a little more about the J.J. Oakley Innovation Center and Residence Hall.
So innovation is a big part of what we do on campus with students, and we really do encourage students to explore, those that are inclined at least, to explore entrepreneurial types of career opportunities for themselves. Many even start up their own businesses before they leave or before they graduate from Tennessee Tech. We have our own, we call it Eagle Works, our Shark Tank competition for students. A lot of that innovation work has been done out of the library currently in an area we call iCube. So the only problem with that has been that the library closes at night, and students, they don't necessarily keep normal hours.
They don't go to bed when I do.
No, they would love to sleep in there and have access to all the cool toys to continue to create and innovate. And so we're gonna build a residence hall with an innovation center as part of that. So quite literally, students could live in that environment. And you know, if they want to get down there at 2 o'clock in the morning and work on a new idea and do something on a 3D printer or do some computer graphics, they got full access to all that. So we're excited about this. There's only a handful of facilities similar to this in the country. Nothing like this currently in the state of Tennessee. So we think it's another opportunity to cater to the type of students that Tennessee Tech enjoys.
Well, that's great. Well, tell us what else is going on in terms of buildings I know you've got a lot in the plans. You've also got renovations going on, like in Johnson Hall.
Yeah, we've proposed to the state for funding. We're hopeful to get funding in this next legislative session for a renovation of Johnson Hall, which is the College of Business. A college you had a lot to do with for many years. And that building has served us really well and actually has gone through some modest renovations over the years, but, it's like a lot of facilities. It needs some help and we're excited about this. We're hopeful that, we'll be able to get that funding from the state and do that full renovation. We'll also, tearing down the old chemistry building, Foster Hall. And, for the time being, at least turning that into green space. So, we'll continue to green up the core of campus and make it more pedestrian friendly. But as part of that, we're in the planning stages now of a parking garage for campus so that we can, accommodate the parking needs, of students and, faculty and staff, while at the same time, maintaining a very pedestrian friendly and green campus. And so we're excited about that. And one of the projects that, probably we're as excited about as any is, working on Tucker Stadium and, renovating or actually rebuilding the west side of Tucker. And Tucker's over 50 years old and, you know, it's a concrete stadium. It just doesn't lend itself to, renovation, very well. And so we're looking forward to that project. That was approved by our board back in December to move forward with that. So we'll be in design this year to move that project along, and hopefully in about a year we'll be under construction on a new west side of Tucker Stadium.
And that's exciting. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk a little more about Tucker Stadium and Football Operations Center. This is Local Matters, and we are talking to TTU President Phil Oldham. Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Dr. Phil Oldham, the president of Tennessee Tech. And Phil, we were talking right before the break about some phenomenal plans for renovating Tucker Stadium and building a football operations center also. So tell us a little more about those.
College athletics is sort of a uniquely American experience. And I think particularly for those of us in the South, it's hard to think of a full university experience without college sports being part of that. And of course, in the South, football is sort of the main component in that. Not to diminish the other sports at all, but because we have a proud tradition of basketball and other sports at Tennessee Tech. Our baseball team, just a few years came very close to going to the College World Series. So, I mean, all the sports are important. We enjoy all of them. But, you know, there's just sort of a special thing about football in the South, particularly in the fall. And Tennessee Tech has a proud tradition of football. And we need facilities, obviously, that match that. So Tucker Stadium is one of those that, again, has served us very well for many years. And it just needs some help.
And it's going to be great to see it reinvented. I've seen some of your plans. I know you've got some real vision there on what that stadium can become.
It will be, this west side will be more similar to what most people expect now in a modern stadium, you know, different levels of premium seating with chair backs and club levels and suites and a real fan experience. An even greater social atmosphere for fans to come out, enjoy the games and interact with each other. A family friendly environment, one that's very accessible. So, I think, this is a great step forward for Tennessee Tech, and excited that we can put these pieces together and make this happen.
And speaking of Tennessee Tech football, and athletics in general, you serve on the Board of Governors for the NCAA. Tell us about that role and some of the things going on there.
Yeah, so the Board of Governors, and it's, timing, I guess, is everything. I don't know if this is the best timing to be on the Board of Governors for the NCAA because there's so many challenges, very substantial challenges going on with college sports today. Most people don't realize NCAA is actually broken into three divisions. Division one, which is what most people think of, and that's part of where Tennessee Tech is in Division one athletics. Those are the big campuses and the flagship campuses and so forth. But then there's also Division two and Division three. So it's a very diverse group of institutions nationwide and a very large group of student athletes. There's something like 500,000 student athletes that compete annually in the NCAA. So it's a substantial enterprise, and it goes, you know, from institutions, campuses that have athletic budgets of over $200 million a year to those that have budgets of $1 million or less a year. So it's, you know, financially, it's very diverse and a lot of different challenges at different levels. Each division within NCAA has its own board of directors. I also serve on the Division I board of directors, but as part of that, then the entire organization is governed by the board of governors. It's a fairly small group of, I think about 25 of us on the board of governors that oversee the entire NCAA. We're actually undergoing a constitutional change right now that's being affirmed here in just very shortly, actually. And so there will be a restructuring to the NCAA. But a lot of that's being driven by changes in society and expectations for what college sports is all about. A lot of this you hear about in the media, things like name, image, and likeness, or pay for play, or you know, health and safety issues with athletes, gender related issues. There's so many challenges with those growing expectations and changing needs that really necessitate a change in operation for the NCAA. So. A lot of moving parts there. Some of that's being reflected in conference realignments. You see a lot of changes at schools that have been in members of one conference for many years changing to join another conference. And we've even seen a lot of that within the Ohio Valley Conference.
Yes, we have.
So, you know, the landscape, I think, will continue to move on us. It will eventually stabilize, but it'd probably take a little while for that to happen. And it's certainly an honor for me to be sitting at that table at this point in time, but the challenges are very substantial.
And, I bet they are.
I'm glad we've got a lot of really good intentioned, smart people sitting around to help figure this out.
Well, it'll take a while for it all to roll out. There's no question there. And as you said, even the OVC has gone through significant change, and I noticed the University of Arkansas Little Rock has joined OVC this year.
That is correct. So they've announced recently that they'll be joining this next year, and we're excited about that. I wish Little Rock played football. They don't, but they've got a great history in basketball. So they bring a lot of strength to the conference. I think some added stability. They are a very comparable institution to most of the OVC members, and so that I think it's a good fit in a lot of ways, and I think it will probably lead to other like institutions to look at the OVC. The Ohio Valley Conference will continue to try to grow back to at least the 12 members as we were previously, and I think we'll eventually get there. But as I said, it's a time of some instability. And institutions are looking at all their options, and we just want to make sure the OVC is very stable and sound, and in full of institutions like Tech that care about academics as much as they do athletics.
Yeah, the OVC's got a wonderful history, and Tech's been part of that for a long time. So we'll look forward to seeing how all these changes roll out over time. Part of the changes NCAA wide came about because of the pandemic. We've seen new student athlete safety issues that I noticed at Tech. We had a a basketball game changed in December because one of the teams, one of the visiting teams, couldn't travel. And so you or Mark Wilson found another team, and I think the play is the same day, but was a different team. So COVID has had an effect on athletics too, hasn't it?
It's had a tremendous effect. And fortunately, this year has been easier than last year. Last year with having to postpone the football season till the spring semester was unusual and challenging in its own way. But the amount of testing that had to take place with student athletes last year was really overwhelming and daunting. And of course, we didn't have a lot of the therapeutics and vaccines that we have now to help with that. So managing COVID this year has been much, much easier, but it's still very present, and it's still something we have to really pay attention to. I think it has pointed out some of the deficiencies within the NCAA of being able to manage a crisis like that in such a large organizational structure that is highly democratic. And so, it's very difficult to manage a crisis like that. And that actually stimulated, I think, some of the move to a new constitution and some of these governance changes. But the pandemic, I think we've learned a lot through it. We've learned that we can cope. We can think our way through these things and manage these things. But nobody thought we'd be dealing with this. I remember sitting around rooms looking at risk management plans, and every once in a while somebody'd bring up a global pandemic, and I think, well,
you just sort of chuckle.
When is that going to happen? Yeah. And of course, I've lived to regret those thoughts.
Yeah. Well, before we close, I wanted to give you a chance to talk about some new things happening at Tech, including scholarships and things. So tell us some of the other neat new things that are going on.
Sure. Well, we want to make sure that an opportunity for a great education at Tennessee Tech, like those alums that we were talking about earlier, is available to anybody and everybody. And so I'm really excited about being able to roll out this year guaranteed scholarship program for high school graduates in Tennessee. If a student has graduated high school with at least a 23 ACT and a 3.4 high school GPA, they're guaranteed a scholarship, an academic scholarship to Tennessee Tech. We know from experience and from just looking at the data that students with that kind of record will be successful at Tennessee Tech. They will have a great experience. They will earn a degree on time, and Tech graduates enjoy the highest starting salaries of any public university in Tennessee. So it pays off, and to give them an opportunity to have that guaranteed scholarship. So just for families to remove that uncertainty about being able to afford college, I think is a really big deal. And we're excited about this. It's been getting a lot of attention, and we've seen an increase in applications and admissions for next year. So we know students have a lot of options. There are a lot of good institutions they can attend. But I think if they give us a look, they'll see that for many of them, this is a great fit.
And that's a great way to end this show for both families and students. Give Tech a look. We've been talking to Dr. Phil Oldham, the president of Tennessee Tech University. Phil, it's been an honor to have you on the show, and we'll have you back again soon.
Thanks, Bob. Wings up.